issues that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, which are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, gift of faith, gift of healing, gift of miracles, gift of prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, gift of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And so while there are other gifts of the Spirit mentioned throughout the Scriptures, and some would even say there's probably other gifts of the Spirit, gifts that are not in Scriptures that we have, these nine gifts, they demonstrate God's supernatural power breaking through the natural world in order to save and to grow his church. And so just because these nine gifts, they're obviously supernatural, it does not mean the other gifts of the Spirit are not supernatural. In fact, the definition we've been using for spiritual gifts come from Sam Storm's book, A Beginner Guide to Spiritual Gifts. You've heard us reference that over and over the last few weeks. And the definition is a divinely empowered or spiritually energized potential to minister to the body of Christ by communicating the knowledge, the power, and the love of Jesus. And so while all of the gifts of the Spirit are divinely empowered and spiritually energized, that is, all spiritual gifts are given to us by God and empowered through the Holy Spirit, some gifts are more obviously supernatural than others. And so these nine gifts seem to be given to the body in order to show us and remind us that a supernatural God is over the universe and he can break through the natural whenever he desires. So what I want to do today is I want to conclude our series talking about the gift of the word of wisdom and the gift of the word of knowledge. But I want to do that in the context of recognizing these gifts and all of the nine gifts are given to us to save and to grow the church. We are encouraging and exhorting you to open your gifts. That is the name of the series, Opening Up Your Gift. We are encouraging you to open your gifts so we as a church are not lacking in any of the tools that God has given us to love each other. And as Robbie said last week, to be a more vibrant church. And so we want our members to know how to exercise their gifts because sometimes God chooses to manifest himself through us in order to draw someone closer to himself by doing the miraculous. So what I want to do really quick is I want to tell a story that I told when I opened this series 5 weeks ago. But I didn't tell the whole story, and so I want to tell that story again, but I want to add on the ending. So 10 years ago, I came here to Bethany Global University, the college that's on this campus. I came here for missionary training. And it was my first year here, and I had only been walking faithfully with the Lord for a couple years, and I got a phone call, and it was my childhood friend's mom, my buddy Danny, who we used to raise a lot of cane together. And his mom called me to tell me that Danny had died. His heart had stopped, most likely related to pills and alcohol. And so I flew home to go to the funeral. And I'm sitting at the funeral with Danny, who was 30 years old. And I have his kids next to me. And behind me is my childhood friends who I had grown up with, a lot of people I'd partied with, a lot of people who needed hope in life. And the preacher is preaching, and he's preaching fire and brimstone and condemnation, and there is no hope coming from the pulpit. And I remember all of a sudden, I just had a message that was just downloaded in my mind. It was just, I had a clear message of what needed to be said to the people that were in that funeral. And I get up, and I just walk up on stage in that funeral with about 100-some people looking at me, wondering what I was doing. And the guy that was preaching, he sees me coming, and instead of letting me come to the pulpit, he just keeps going, and he blocks my way to the mic. And in that moment, instead of pushing through or turning to say that message that I had, I froze in fear. I realized that I was sitting up on the stage and interrupting a funeral. And I sat there in what felt like eternity, it was probably only 30 seconds, not knowing what to do. And my friend's dad, he came up, he grabbed me, he hugged me. I went and I sat back down and I felt just so stupid the rest of the funeral. So embarrassed. Funeral ends, we go to leave, I get in the car with my dad, we drive to go to the burial ceremony, and I don't even want to go. I'm just so embarrassed, I feel so stupid. We go anyways, we're sitting there, as we're sitting there, the funeral director, he yells out, "Does anyone have anything to say? Where's that young man who wanted to give a word?" Well, at this time, not only did I not want to go say anything, the word that I had was gone. I didn't share it, and it was gone. I didn't remember it. I don't know what to say. I go up there, I muttered something about 2 Corinthians 3. We ourselves are letters from God, and we show we're letters because of the Spirit. It was something like that. I just muttered something. I felt stupid. I walked away. No one said anything because, you know, everyone's nice at a funeral. People grieve different ways. After the funeral, after the burial process, I see my friend Ben, who's also 30 years old. He grew up with me and Danny. I see him in the back, and I go and talk to Ben. Ben had grown up in the church with me. He had known the Lord, but he had walked away. I think that Ben had got in some unhealthy relationships and impregnated some women and encouraged them to have abortions. And Ben struggled with depression and anxiety because of it. In fact, he struggled so much he would wake up and he would grab a beer right out of bed. And then he would spend his day drinking at work, during his breaks, and even when he came home at 30 years old. I remember talking to him and trying to be positive and sharing some hope, but at the same time, I'm remembering that I just interrupted a funeral, so I felt stupid. And so I said bye to Ben, and I get back on a plane, and I come back here to Minnesota, and I get a phone call 6 months later from my dad telling me that Ben had died. His heart had stopped at 30 years old. 6 months, two of my friends at 30 years old died because of heart failure. And so I look back on that story, and I think about that, and I don't want to make something that's not real, or over-dramatize the story. It's dramatic enough, but three things are true in that story. One, God gave me a clear message to share. Two, I did not share that message. And three, my friend died 6 months later. Now, I don't know if that message was for him. I don't know who it was for. And I don't know if he came back to the Lord. I don't know what happened in those 6 months. I didn't talk to him. But I can't help but think that message could have been shared and he could have heard that. These gifts are given to us to save and to build the church. There are people outside of the church that are dying and need the power of God to draw them into salvation. And there are people in this church who have become cold. They have not heard the voice of the Lord in a long time, and they have not felt his presence, and they need the power of God to revive their relationship. And so what I want you to walk away with today, and what I hope we walk away from this series, is that these gifts, these nine sign gifts that Paul mentions in these two verses, they have the ability to demonstrate God's power in a way that saves and grows his church. And when you leave here today, my prayer is that you leave knowing that God gives you these gifts to open in order to be used as vessels to show his knowledge and his power and his love to the world. And so if you want to turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4. We're going to read here today to verse 11. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here today, Father, and discuss it. Be with me today as I do my best to communicate truth, and let those who need to hear it today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In verse 8, In verse 8, Paul mentions the message or utterance or word, depending on your translation, of knowledge and of wisdom. And it's the only verse in the Bible that talks about these two giftings. It doesn't give us much to go on. There's no description, there's no instruction, just what Paul calls the manifestations of the Spirit. In the traditional charismatic understanding, and how most of us would define these gifts, would be the revelatory insight into someone's life, or simply the ability to speak divinely revealed knowledge and wisdom to someone. It's not knowledge or wisdom that someone has obtained through studying or learned through observation or even experience. Instead, it is the revelatory in nature. It is revelation. And so, to use a definition by Jack Deere, revelation is God making known to us what we did not know or could not have known through our natural sense. God making known to us what we did not know or could not have known through our natural sense. And so we are talking about hearing and getting or knowing something spontaneously or instantly that we could not have already known. And so let me do my best to differentiate between the two. Again, I don't want to be too dogmatic in what I'm saying about them, because the Bible doesn't give us a lot to go on. So I'm just going to give what I think and what others think these are interpreted as. It seems that the difference between the two gifts could be the word of knowledge is revelatory information about someone's life, and the word of wisdom is revelatory instruction into someone's life. One is information, one is instruction. Sam Storm says knowledge is the what about someone's life, and word of wisdom is the how of a person's life. And so, for example, if I was to get a word of knowledge for someone up here while I was preaching, it could sound something like me saying, I believe the Holy Spirit has just revealed to me that someone in here today just had their dog run over by a car. That's sad, right? There's no instruction. It's just the mere fact that God revealed information to me for someone to share. Now, if I was to get a word of wisdom while I was preaching, it could sound something like me saying, I believe the Holy Spirit has just revealed to me that someone in here needs to slow down when you're backing out of your driveway. It's instructional. It provides guidance into someone's life, not just information. You see the difference? Your dog got hit is informational. You need to slow down is instructional. Both revelatory in nature, just a slight difference in application. And I just want to say, I thought that was going to be funnier, right? Sometimes when you write a sermon, in your mind, you think something's going to be hilarious, and it obviously was not. All right. So there are four things that I see in 1 Corinthians that lead me to believe that Paul seems to be referencing a type of revelatory gift of communication, opposed to just a general gift of being a wise teacher or a knowledgeable teacher, which I'll get to here in a minute. The first reason is Paul places these two ministries or services in this specific list of verses 8 through 10, right? That list, it only includes obviously supernatural services, gift of tongues, interpretation, prophecy, right? It seems odd that he would throw in a couple of non-obvious gifts if it was just teaching, having the gift to teach knowledgeable or teaching wise. He would just throw those gifts into this list of gifts that are obviously supernatural. So that's the first reason, first thing I see in Scripture that leads me to have the interpretation about the gifts that I have. The second reason is in 1 Corinthians 13:2, Paul is arguing for the necessity of love being the primary motivation for the gifts. And he says, if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge and have faith so that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. So understanding all mysteries and knowledge are in between the gift of prophecy and the gift of faith, which seems to me to be a reference back to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. He seems to be saying you might have these awesome, amazing sign gifts, but if you do not have love, it means nothing. The third thing that I see in 1 Corinthians that leads me to this interpretation that I have about these gifts are in verses 8 through 12 of 1 Corinthians 13. He says, love never ends, but as for prophecy, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. And so again, knowledge is mentioned in the same breath with these other obviously supernatural gifts. And then finally, in 1 Corinthians 14:6, Paul says, so now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you speaking other tongues, how will I benefit you unless I speak to you with a revelation or a knowledge or a prophecy or a teaching? And so again, Paul places knowledge in between the supernatural. Revelation, knowledge, prophecy. And he distinguishes it from teaching. So it seems to me that verse 8, the message, the word, the utterance of wisdom and knowledge is something different than just general teaching of the gospel. Now, some people would argue that the word wisdom and word of knowledge mentioned in this passage are not a reference to instant or spontaneous revelation, but instead is more related to the gift of teaching, the general revelation about Christ. And they would point to the fact that when Paul talks about wisdom and knowledge in this letter and in other letters, he's talking about wisdom and knowledge as being the gospel, right? The plan of God to redeem his people through the work of the cross. He explains in chapters 1 and 2 of Corinthians. In fact, chapters 1, verses 24 and 30, he refers to Christ as the wisdom of God. And then in chapters 2, he calls the work of Christ on the cross God's hidden wisdom that was predestined before the ages for our glory. It's a powerful verse. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. Christ is the hidden wisdom that was predestined for our glory. And so this similar language that Paul uses in other epistles, for instance, in Colossians 2, 2 through 3, he says, I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love so that they may have all of the riches of complete understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. So the knowledge of God's mystery is Christ in Colossians 2. And so Christ, God's redemptive plan, is usually what Paul is talking about when you're referring to godly wisdom and knowledge in the scripture. So this is why some people would argue that 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, that Paul is talking about the gift of teaching the gospel, not a revelatory gift. And so while I understand this logic and I understand how someone gets there, I think this argument usually comes from someone who's unwilling to believe that God still speaks. They would say that the Bible is God's full revelation and he does not need to reveal himself outside of it. And I guess I would argue that the Bible reveals that God reveals himself in other ways. And I also recognize that there is nothing more important for us to know than there is a God who loves us, desires to know us, and has sent his son to die on the cross so that through faith in him, we can be reconciled back to God. That is the most important thing for anyone to know. But sometimes God reveals his power in order to draw someone to the point that they can believe that. A great example of this is Charles Spurgeon and the shoemaker. I don't know if you know this story, but I'm going to tell it to you so you'll know it today. Charles Spurgeon, he lived in the 1800s, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, known as the Prince of Preachers. In fact, he started gathering such crowds when he spoke that he kept having to move out of his building into new buildings to fit everyone that wanted to come hear him. And finally, he ended up in a music hall in downtown London that could seat up to 12,000 people. And so I'm just going to pull an excerpt from Jack Deere's book, Surprised by the Voice of God. And this is someone who went to hear Spurgeon preach at that huge music hall. Here's a story that he experienced. I went to the music hall and took my seat in the middle of the place. Mr. Spurgeon looked at me as if he knew me, and in his sermon, he pointed to me, and he told the congregation that I was a shoemaker and that I kept my shop opened on Sundays, and I did. I should not have minded that, but he also said that I took 9 pence the Sunday before and that there was 4 pence profit. But how should he know that? I could not tell. Then it struck me that it was God who had spoken to my soul through him. So I shut up my shop the next Sunday. At first, I was afraid to go again to hear him, lest he should tell the people more about me. But afterwards, I went, and the Lord met me, and he saved my soul. Spurgeon, when recounting this experience, he adds, I could tell as many as a dozen similar cases in which I pointed at someone in the hall without having the slightest knowledge of the person or any idea what I said was right, except that I believed I was moved by the Spirit to say it. And so striking has been my description that the persons have gone away and said to their friends, come see a man that told me all the things I ever did. Beyond a doubt, he must have been sent by God to my soul. Spurgeon received a manifestation of the Spirit that was used to reveal the power of God to someone who needed to be saved. The man says, I went and the Lord met me and he saved my soul. Is there anything more that we should want to have the power of God move through us in order to save someone's soul? The gifts are used to save and to grow the church. These revelatory gifts are insights given to us instantly and spontaneously by supernatural means. In fact, I would even view them as kin to prophecy because of their revelatory nature. The definition of prophecy that Dave gave in his message a couple weeks ago was the human report of divine revelation. And I think that that's what the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom are. They are reporting on a revelation that was received. So these gifts, they seem to fall under this umbrella of prophecy or a type of prophecy or a kin to prophecy. And I would say that divine revelation can be revealed to us in a number of different ways. Some of you have a lot of testimonies about this, words, visions, dreams. But what makes it prophecy is we proclaim it. And similarly, the word of knowledge and wisdom seem to be something spoken to someone. These gifts are not being talked about for personal edification, but indeed are revelatory insights given specifically for us to share to someone. Verse 7 says, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. The NLT says, the spiritual gifts are given to us so we can help each other. I like that. It's just simple. So we can help each other, right? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:26, whenever you come together, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a revelation, another tongue, or an interpretation. Everything is to be done for the building up of his church. The gifts should always be outward focused. If in doubt, use 1 Corinthians 13 as your guide. Without love, the gifts are worth nothing. We are broken beings, church. We are desperately in need of a perfect Savior. We never move beyond that. We never move beyond needing Jesus. And at different times in our life, we need different expressions of love. And sometimes it's just as simple as God revealing information about you to someone to share with you and remind you that God is still here. The gifts are given to us to save and to grow the church, Bethany. Probably about 6 years ago, I was doing some street ministry with an organization named Trinity Works. And they used to do something, they might still do it, called the King's Banquet. And they would go out and they would recruit people who lived on the streets to come to this great fancy meal that they were going to put on that evening in the hotel. Right, it'd be the 7-course meal. And so you'd go out and you would invite as many people as you could to come into the banquet and get this free meal. And so they would come in and they would eat. And the plan is we would strategically sit at different tables, right, and grow a relationship, have a conversation, minister to them. And then Stephen Ugin, who was over at Trinity Works, he would come in and he would deliver a gospel presentation to them. And so that was the point, get them to the gospel presentation. And so there was this lady that was at my table, very charismatic lady, and using all types of words, every four-letter word. It was great. And we're eating, and all of a sudden she gets a phone call, and her face changes. Tears well up in her eyes. She hangs up the phone, and she says, I gotta go. And I didn't want her to leave yet because the gospel was just about to be presented. She couldn't leave yet. And all of a sudden to me, probably as quick as it came to me, I said it, and I said, your daughter's pregnant, isn't she? And she froze. And she said, how did you know that? She's 17, and I don't want her to end up like me. And she stayed, and she heard the gospel. I don't know how her life changed, and I don't know if she accepted God. But in that moment, God moved in a powerful way. I wasn't asking for a supernatural gifting. In fact, I hadn't experienced them much in my life. But I was willing to love that lady however God showed me. Because outside of the Spirit, I could not love her. I had nothing to offer her. But God chose in that moment to bring me. He chose in that moment for his will and then my willingness to be combined and to break through in love with power. God gives us the gifts to save and to grow the church. And so I want to go ahead and invite the worship team back up. I want to remind you guys, we're going to be doing a short Q&A after the service. We'll just meet over here on the side. For anyone who just has any other questions about the gifts, it could be something I talked about today. It could be something we talked about the last 5 weeks. If you want to just maybe ask some more in-depth questions or even maybe bring some suggestions of how we as a church can continue to promote that, I want to invite you to join us. We'll just meet over here for a minute. I know a lot of people are out and the day's sunny, so don't feel obligated to do that. But we do want to just give you the opportunity to share or to ask questions. Me and Dave and Derek will be the ones leading that. But I also want to encourage you guys, if you want prayer for this gifting or any gifting, there will be people on the sides willing to give you some prayer. In fact, I'll be willing to pray for you. I look around, we have some mighty, mighty men and women of God in this church who have been walking with the Lord a lot longer than I have. I see Tim and Carol Freeman, Paul Strand was up here. If you want prayer for any of these, go to these people. Go to someone on the side. Come to me, right? We would love to pray for you and encourage you to start recognizing how you can walk out in what is obviously supernatural that God has given us to help save and to grow his church. And so if you guys want to just stand up, I want to go ahead and pray for us and go into a time of worship. God, we thank you that you give us what we need, Father. Even when we're empty, Lord, and we have nothing, you use the weak, you use the broken, you use the unwise, Father, to save and to grow. You speak through us, you move through us, Lord, in powerful ways. God, let us be willing to let your will be done, Father. Let us step into your mission, Father, that you've called us into. We love you, Jesus. Amen.